in honor of God's word today. Let's read this verse together. It's a very simple verse, but it's a very complex verse. Let's read it together. Luke 12:8. Also I say to you, whoever confesses me before men, him the Son of Man also will confess before the angels of God. You may be seated. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew 15. We continue through the book of Matthew, a study in the book of Matthew, a different series now as we get into this title of the series, Wash Your Hands, Your Head, and Your Heart. How do you do all those? How can you wash your hands, wash your head, wash your heart? What in the world are we talking about? I hope that you actually take from the Word of God what Jesus says to these Pharisees and to these scribes. You remember we've been preaching through this series, and while we preach in book by book, as we do oftentimes, is we want to get to the place of actually it goes together. Jesus just fed 5,000 plus women and children, so 15 or 20,000 people. He just got through finishing feeding on the countryside. How many wash stations do you think it would take for 15,000 people to wash their hands? Do you think it's a potential possibility? I know they're by the waterside that they didn't wash their hands before they ate the fish and the bread. They had dirty hands or soiled hands or daily working hands that they had ate that fish and bread. So they're not condemning Jesus for all the people eating with unclean hands. They're going to come into town and they're going to pinpoint, just like today in our society, everyone wants to shoot the arrow at Jesus Christ, our Christ follower. If you're a faithful follower of Jesus Christ, listen, the Bible says, Jesus himself said, the world hated him first and it's going to hate you. There is nothing you can do to make the world love you if you belong to Jesus Christ. If you're a faithful follower of Jesus Christ, Jesus himself said the world will hate you. No matter if you've got a great personality, right? No matter if you're giving constantly, I guarantee you, even in Korea, people will say, what a great thing this pastor does, but there's a group of people trying to shut him down, I would imagine. I'm sure there's a whole lot of legislators saying, this is not legal, and the government needs to take care of these kids. I'm sure there's something going on like that, right? In America, we want to take care of it before even they get to a baby born that a mother can't provide for or care for or don't want. And we know that's awful. And in our society, we should stand up every chance we get. As a believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we must stand for the unborn. We must stand for children who can't take care of themselves. We must stand for the fatherless. And we must stand for widows as well. We have to stand in the gap. And if we don't stand in the gap, we know what's going to happen in society. Society will collapse on those people. And it would cause those people great harm. And we know that Planned Parenthood's in the news. What does God say about, listen, what does God say about it? He created life. What do you think he is, pro-life or pro-choice? He's very pro-life because God created life. And every time someone destroys a human being through murder, every time someone destroys a human being, they're destroying the breath of life that God gave that person. So listen, well, that's another subject for another day. But I do want you on your Connect card, I want everyone to fill it out, everyone, even children. I know the children are in the room today, so we're careful what we're trying to say today. But what I want you to do today is, if you have a question about anything in our society today, we're going to tackle some tough subjects in our culture today, in America or around the world. If you have a question, you'd like to know the answer to your question, we're not going to say Wendy Smith writes this question. We're just going to say this is a question given, and we're going to address that through the Word of God in the coming days. So I want you to write, if you have a question about anything, about the church's responsibility, about what God says about, and just fill in the blank. We're going to try our best to answer those questions through the Word of God, if you'll turn those in at the end of service. All righty, sermon title, here we go. Wash your hands, your head, and your heart. Let's read together Matthew chapter 15, begin of chapter 15. After Jesus, now these guys have traveled, just put your mindset on this. Jesus is up at Gennesaret, right? These men have traveled several miles. They've sent a delegation from the capital, Jerusalem. They've sent a delegation of scribes and Pharisees. You don't always see these two people together. These scribes are basically the ones that are writing the rules, right? What did you say? They're the ones writing it down, the scribes, scribbling it down. Pharisees now are taking supposedly the law of God, but what they've done is they've taken the law of God, the word of God from Moses, and they've added all their legislation like our government does today, right? These are religious rulers. They've added all their words to God's words. And now they've gotten so many words of their own that they're negating God's word. You're going to see how Jesus deals with these men. Chapter 15, verse 1. Then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, and we would say today, they traveled miles and miles to come to Jesus, right? This is a special delegation coming. Why? They're going to ask him a question. Look at this question. Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. And he answered and said to them, he answers with a question, right? Instead of giving them the answer they ask, he asks again another question back to them. Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses his father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God. And there was a word, you want to write this word, Corban, right? Corban, the Corban, they would actually basically shout that out. Then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. And what does he call them? These are men, they're very religious men. What does he call them? Verse 7. Hypocrites. Well, did Isaiah prophesy about you saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth. And where's your mouth? This is where the head comes from, right? Your mouth and your lip are on your head, right? This is part of your head. And then, well, did Isaiah prophesy about you saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Verse 10. When he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear and understand, not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. Then his disciples came to him and said, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? Sounds like today, doesn't it? Right? If you believe the Bible, you're going to offend. Listen, when you speak the word of God in truth and in love, and Jesus was speaking, you can't get any greater than love than Jesus had for these men. When you speak the truth in love, you're going to offend people and they're going to get upset. Jesus answers and says, every plant which my Heavenly Father has not planted will be what? Uprooted. Verse 14, let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into the ditch. And then Peter answered and said to him, explain this parable to us. You want to go, duh, right? We have the whole council, so he's living it, we're reading it, okay? So it's a historical narrative that actually happened for us. So when we read this, we go, Peter, dude, you're slack, right? All right, so but we have the whole word of God now, so we understand this. Let's read together. Verse 16, so Jesus said, are you also still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. Now, if you have notes, listen, I want to show you this very clearly. These men have traveled a long distance. They've been sent from the capital. They want answers because they're going to go back and give answers to the men who sent them. We know that John 3:3, if we go back and read, Nicodemus said, we know that you're a man from God for the things that you do. So the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, everyone in town knew that Jesus was sent by God just by the sheer miracles that he did. There was no argument that he actually healed the blind, right? That he healed the deaf, that he brought people back to life, that he had fed 5,000 plus women and children up to this point. His popularity is growing and growing and growing. And yet these men have sent a delegation to find out, listen, they came all this way to ask him, why are you breaking our rules, man? Right? They ask about washing of hands. They ask a simple question about why are your disciples breaking our rules? God, why are you breaking the rules that man has set up? That's what they're asking. Watch what God, Jesus, in the flesh, watch what he does. Listen, when you come to this place, number one, if you take notes, Jesus rejects the religious rules of man. As Martin talked about these LDS missionaries that travel around the world and young men that are getting out of, you're getting out of high school right now, some of those young men that you go to school with, they're getting on their bicycles and they're traveling for a whole year or two. They're committing their time, what they think is, unto the Lord. They're going and they're actually doing their journeys. And there's a teaching. Listen, when a man will take the word of God and they'll say, this is God's word. And then they'll pick up another book and say, but this word expounds on that word, right? And then they pick up another teaching from the prophets of their own religion. Every time someone adds to the word of God, listen, they're taken away from the word of God. Amen? Every time someone adds to the word of God, they take away from the word of God. This is what was really meant. Sometimes preachers, you know, like, God, you know, I'm going to read your word today and I'm going to tell the folks what you said in my own words. What am I doing? I'm interpreting the scriptures, all right? And Sunday school teachers, life group teachers, discipleship, intentional discipleship, we all do that. That's why we actually want people to qualify before they actually teach the Bible. for so long in so many churches, people just get saved, and we say, great, you get saved, get baptized next week, and then the week after that, hey, we need somebody to help teach the teenage boys. Someone that's just become a Christian, what can they teach teenage boys? What will they dwell on mostly? They don't have much experience with the Bible. They don't have much experience about teaching the Word of God because they haven't had it in them. What are they going to dwell on? Their lifestyle before Christ. Man, listen, Jesus saved me, boy. We used to go drinking all the time, boy. Right? They're going to make big of before Christ. And our testimony should be this in all times is, listen, I was a sinner in need of a Savior. Jesus saved me. And since I've been saved, listen, I've only been saved this short of time. God's done this, this, and this. And I pray to him and ask him for strength, for guidance, for wisdom, and growing up in the Lord. We should never make someone who's a new believer a teacher. Because, listen, the Bible's very clear. We're going to be held to a higher standard. Did you know that? If you're a teacher, if you're a leader today, think about that. Pray about that before you're asked to teach a class. Because if you talk about the old ways more than you talk about the new ways, the new creation, God's going to hold you accountable. So Jesus rejects the religious rules of men. Look at verses 1 and 2. The scribes and the Pharisees unite to challenge Jesus. They've come to this place. They insisted on knowing why Jesus' disciples did not keep their laws about ceremonial hand washing. Now, if you look on the back, I gave you, go along with the scripture, Mark chapter 7, verses 1 through 23. I won't go there today. Mark tells you a little bit more. It's at the very back of your back page. Mark tells you more about the ceremonial hand washing, how they had to let the water run down just past their wrists so everyone knew that Jews that follow the rules, they didn't just wash their hands. He's not talking about washing your hands before, kids, you should wash your hands before you eat, okay? He's not talking about washing your hands. That's not what Jesus is saying. He said, you don't have to go through all this ceremony and hold water up like this and let it run down past your wrist, then you're cleansed, because that's what the elders have said. They've made up this rule saying, this is hand washing. Now, they took back the law, right? You go back and look at Leviticus. They go back to Leviticus. They had the law of God. But then they said, we'll take that law and we'll add some more to it. That way everyone knows that we're Jews, because the way we wash our hands, you ever been to Sheely's? We went there this week, right? Thank you, Barton. So we went there. We went to the Barton this week. We actually got there and everybody falls in line. How many of you have ever been to Sheely's? How many of you washed your hands at Sheely's? Shame on the rest of you. You're supposed to wash. That's part of the system. I'm just kidding. So everybody just falls in line, do we not? I mean, my hands could be clean. We're right up there. There's nothing on my hands, but sometimes I just fall right into the cow line, right? Talking as we do and dry our hands and get out of there, right? And we all fall into that system. And you can fall into a tradition that way in church, can you not? There's churches that sing the doxology every Sunday. You have to sing the doxology or you haven't fulfilled the worship service. You have to pray at a certain time. And even here, when we transitioned from taking the order of worship, and by the way, we took the order of worship out of the bulletin so that we could actually have the freedom to do what we need to do if God changes the order of worship today. Because what happens if you go to a program and you go song first, prayer first, message, prayer, song, we should be out of here. We broke the rule, right? We have a tradition where we fall into this step. And this is the way it's got to be because it's always been this way. And some of you still want it, right? I just want to know what's next. If I just knew what's next coming up, listen, let go of what's next and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't like the preaching, read the Bible, right? You got it in front of you. Keep reading. God will speak to you through the Word of God. Tune me out. Turn him on, right? Hear what the Lord Jesus Christ has to say and has to say to you and has to say to me. Well, verse 2, you'll see there, listen, I wrote it for you. The religious wrangle with their creator. Could you imagine the created telling the creator that he's doing something wrong? Does that make any sense whatsoever? These men had gotten so haughty, they'd gotten so mindful of themselves that they're to the place now where they're telling God what the rules are. God, this is how we do it. This is how your guys should do it. And we come to that place, listen, do we do that in our culture today? Do we still come to the place where we tell God what he's supposed to do? We all do because we think that our way is the right way. Well, I learned it this way, so therefore it's this way. Grandma said this is what we're supposed to do, therefore this is what we do. Many times when churches come together, we'll have joint services together, we come together and we'll say, listen, I've worked with a Pentecostal church before in a service, and I said, I will be there. And Don, I always joke with Don about former Pentecostal, I guess Don Lemon, our pastor at Lemon, and I talked about speaking in tongues. Listen, what does the Bible say about speaking in tongues or speaking in a language, a different language? I believe very much so, listen, that these, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down with tongues as tongues of fire on those men, women, they spoke, those men specifically, they spoke not only in the language of the people from different countries, but in the very dialect of those people. So if they were from the country, if they were rednecks, they spoke redneck, right? If they, wherever they were from, wherever those Jews were from, they heard clearly the word of God in their language and in their own dialect. And they responded, what must we do to be saved, right? They were cut to the heart, the Bible says. I believe that God united and blasted the church off. And then what happens when the church starts to grow? We receive 3,000, then the number 5,000. What happens immediately after the church is growing? Well, if you were God, how would you get the church spread out? Because what happens is we get so comfortable. Well, I just love my church family, and I just want to sit in the same spot. How many of you park in the same parking spot, if you can, every Sunday? Traditions of men, right? How many sit in the same seat every Sunday? Traditions of men, right? How many use the same door every Sunday? Traditions of men, right? What happens is you can actually start a tradition, and you will do it for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And in churches today, listen, there's people that are coming in the back door. A guest will be seated, and people will come in and say, you're sitting in my pew. Listen, it happens every single Sunday. Now, if you notice on both sides of our, we have these benches. There's no gold plates on either side. And that's one thing. When I came as a pastor, I was being considered as pastor. I looked to see if there were any gold plates on the windows or if there was any gold plates on the pew. I refused to be a pastor of a church that has everything owned by men. Because what happens if you paid for that pew, guess what happens? That's our family's pew, and you can't sit there. Does a guest know anything about that? Guests, by the way, you're welcome here. You can sit anywhere you want to sit, right? Don't get into traditions of men. Sit wherever you want to sit today. Here's what I want you to understand. We can get so caught up in the way we do things that it becomes our religion sometimes. Jesus is very clear. Listen, don't get led astray, even by people who sound very religious. And I've told you time and time again, if you hear me preach something, you should go to the Word of God like the Bereans did and search the Scriptures and see if that's true. I've never heard that. Can you give me the reference for that? Sometimes I'll quote Scripture without giving you actually the verse, chapter and verse. If you have a question about it, you should write it down. Slide me a little note. Hey, Pastor, where was that found? Or use your Google. Most of you have your phones out during church anyway, right? Go to BibleGateway.com. That's a great search tool. I use it often when I'm in preaching with other preachers. I'm there on my Bible. They think I'm texting, but I'm actually using my Bible. So I'm not against. I'm growing into the 21st century slowly, right? I'm way behind schedule. But these men have come to that place where they're wrangling with God, and they're telling God, they're telling Jesus, listen very clearly, this is the rule, and you broke our rules. And back home, we as a delegation got to go back and say, why are your disciples eating with unwashed ceremonial hands? Why are you Jews, man? How come you're not doing what the Jews do? Jesus comes full circle and watch. He answers their question with a question. Why do you transgress the commandment of God? Because of your traditions. He's coming full circle. He's attacking not just washing of hands, not just the ceremonial washing of hands. He's attacking all of the thousands of rules that they had packed on. And some biblical scholars say it was like remember the Encyclopedia Britannica? Anybody remember those? The thick, thick rules. They made all these rules that only they knew. So forget the law of God. That's what the Bible says, all right? That's what the text says. We've made up all these rules. These are the rules. Follow these rules. Just like the LDS, just like the Mormons have done. The Mormons have come to the place and said, yes, they used to come knock on your door and hand you the King James Bible. They'd give you a copy of the King James Bible. Then they'd also want to give you the copy of the Book of Mormon. And then when you were, if you invited them in or had a conversation with them, they want to go to the doctrines of the Pearl of Great Price, right? There's book after book after book after book. They want you to go to their doctrine, their teaching. They want to go to their legalistic way. Still today, they're doing the very same thing. They want you to learn their way. When they talk about Jesus Christ, Martin, they're not talking about the Son of the living God. They believe that Jesus Christ is a man like you and me. They believe that God the Father is a man like you and me, that the Holy Spirit is a power force from God. Listen, I want to tell you very clearly, we serve one God, three in one. Listen, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Listen, God, John 4:24 says, those who worship, listen, true worship before God, right? You must come to him and worship him in how? In spirit and in truth. God the Father is still spirit. Jesus Christ, before he come at Christmas, and we know we're going to celebrate at Christmas the birth of the King. Listen, that's who Matthew's talking about this whole time, is the King Jesus. He's trying to tell us, get us ready for Christmas. He's trying to get us ready for the Easter celebration. He's talking about King Jesus, right? On the front of your bulletin, the logo Alex made for us, identify friendly or foe. When we were in the military, we would do war operations constantly on the ocean. We're constantly out there on the ocean, and planes would come by constantly, all the traffic. And we would turn on this little box, and it would say, identify friendly or foe. In the intel box, we would actually get to the point. And we were a bunch of crazy country boys running that system. We were Georgia and South Carolina. We were a bunch of country boys that had no business with a top secret clearance, had no business with control and talking to combat control, because we wanted to shoot something down, right? We wanted to see a national incident whenever something was happening. That was just how it was. I wasn't a Christian then. And we turned that identify box, the indicator box, identify friendly or foe. We would turn it on, and we knew the F-14s were coming and doing war games with us. We could never see them. They were so fast. And we could pick them up on radar unless they were on the deck. The water hides a lot of things. Clouds hide a lot of things. There's a lot of strategy out there on the water. But we would turn that thing on hoping and praying that those guys didn't turn their box on. Right? Because they would do all the maneuvers with us, but when they got within distance to strike us, every plane had to identify itself. Identify yourself, aircraft, identify yourself, friendly or foe. And if they didn't turn the box on, we would turn the SeaWiz, we wouldn't, but the combat control would turn the missiles on them. And we're like, come on, man, I hope you don't turn it on. We're going to shoot down an F-14 today, right? Because we knew they could eject, right? We didn't want to kill the pilot. We knew he could eject, and it would be just a big incident. We were just ready. Don't identify yourself. Just don't identify. We would hope, don't chirp in. Forget to turn it on, right? Think about the war game, don't turn it on. That's just how we were. We were crazy like that. So, but all every time I was in, they would turn on the box, beep, and it would identify. Our computer would speak to their computer saying, it's friendly, right? War game's over. When we come to the place today, listen, with Jesus Christ, these men were very religious. And y'all, listen, I'm talking about people today that are very religious. They'll come to you and they'll quote scripture, but they'll take scripture out of context. Jehovah's Witness will go door to door, knock on your door until you confront them with the word of God, the whole counsel of God. Don't let someone just come and extract one piece of scripture and say, this is what I base my beliefs on, just this one scripture. I'm not saying don't have a verse for your life or a verse of the day, but listen, I'm talking about those people who would take the scripture and manipulate scripture to say what they want it to say so that you act in a certain way. Men today are still doing the very same thing these religious men were doing. They'd come to that place where they were manipulating God's word for their gain. These guys had it made. And then they came to the place where they'd go over mama's house for Sabbath, right? Mama's fixing for Saturday's dinner. And then they'd go to mom and dad when they had need. They'd say, oh, our money's Corbin. It's been dedicated to the temple, to God. Now, they could still use the money any way they wanted to use it. But they couldn't give any. You were never going to benefit. You couldn't ask me. If I said my money has been dedicated to God, to the temple, you couldn't even say, hey, well, can I have $5? Nope, sorry, it's God's money. Now, I could still go spend my money any way I wanted to till I died, right? But it's dedicated to God, and I can't give you any money. So God comes back full circle. He puts a smack on these guys. Watch what he does. The royal regal of heaven, watch what he does. He accuses the committee of violating God's royal law. He comes very clear in verse 4. For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother. And he who curses his father or mother, let him be put to death. That's pretty strong, wasn't it? God was serious. Was he serious about us honoring our fathers and our mothers? But what you say, whoever says to his father, mother, what profit you might have received from me is a gift to God. I've already dedicated my money to God, right? This money set aside to God. I'll still eat, right, the way I want to eat. I'll still buy the things I want to buy. But when I die, the riches are going to go to God. It's dedicated to God. Verse 6, then he need not honor his father and mother. You don't have to do what God says. So God says, honor your father and your mother. Help them. And you say, well, it's God's money. I can't help them because I can't spend any money on anybody else but myself. So the money's already been obligated to God. So I can't use his money. So they had taken God's word. God says, honor your father and your mother, right? Even in the New Testament, those who don't take care of his own family is worse than what? An infidel. That word's in the scriptures. He'd come to the place where, hey, we can't help you this month because that's God's money. Well, son, aren't you eating? All right, aren't you? I know you're part of the scribes and Pharisees now, but listen, what are you doing with the extra money? Can't help you. Don't have any extra. It's God's. Today we still do the same thing, don't we? Except we give our money to different gods, right? Pastor, I just can't tithe at church today. I know the Lord's work has to be done, and I told you before, missionaries are coming off the field. Our Southern Baptist International Missionary are coming off the field. There's 600 to 800 personnel and office staff coming off the field that should be sharing the gospel. They're asking for early retirement. You know why? Because our giving has dropped. Southern Baptists have not been committed to the mission anymore. You know why? And what's I'm just going to show you. Don't get mad at me, but I'm just going to show you. How many of you drive a car that's a 2000 or newer? 15 years. Go ahead and raise your hand and watch. Many times you get a car payment with that. I'm not saying it's wrong to have a new car, right? I'm not, so don't leave here. A newer house, 2,000 or better built or bought or bigger. Which happens? All right, good. It's good to have a house. How about how many have a smartphone, a smart device, some mobile device? Every time we raise our hand, what happens, what I want you to see, is we constantly, it costs us more money and more money to have the things of this world, right? I won't get into boats and race cars and motorcycles and all the excess, right? It costs more and more money to live in this world. What's happening is we're telling the Lord now, Lord, we can't even give you any money because I've got this, this, and this, and this. If Jesus went to your checking account, what would he say? God bless you, man. You're so tied up in debt, right? Because what happens is if we do get in so far in debt, we won't even use the things that we have for the glory of God. The things that we have will actually start taking ownership of us. They'll start owning you, right? If you don't have a boat, and if you have a boat, God bless you. If you don't have a boat, you never have to worry about boat problems. Is that true? If you don't have a motorcycle, you don't have to worry about motorcycle problems, do you? If you have a big, big, big outfit, big rig, big monster truck, listen, you have to worry about repairs, right? We've torn up a bunch. Unless you got Steve, obviously, can fix. He's fixed all my stuff in the past. But if you don't have the toys, you don't have the issues that go along with those toys. Is that true? If you rent, you don't have to worry about a mortgage. You have to worry about a rent payment, but you don't have to worry about a mortgage. And doing any repairs, if you got a good landlord, you should just call the landlord and say, hey, this is broke. I paid that in my rent, right? Now listen, I'm not throwing stones at anyone today. But here's what I want you to understand. These men had come to the place where their religion, their religious ways that they created themselves had gotten in the way of God's ways. And today in our culture, we've done the very same thing. Now, we're not Pharisees. Those Pharisees, Jesus tells us what's going to happen to them, and it happened. We don't hear about Pharisees today. We don't hear about these scribes today. Because what happens is, listen, they faded off the scene because they were uprooted, because they were not of God. Today, we're doing the very same thing. We have a form of religion. We have a form of godliness, but we deny the power thereof. God said, and listen, very clearly in his word, we should not have anything to do with those kind of people. So what do? How do we come full circle? Look at the word right here. How do we come full circle when we know that we come into a cycle where we have ourselves forgotten, listen, the golden commandment, right? What is it? Do to others as you'd have them do to you. What is the greatest commandment? The greatest. We know it's first to love God and love others as you love yourself. We've got to come to that place where we actually take God's word seriously. We have to make application to our life, to not just hear a sermon, not just to hear somebody preach. We have to come to that place where we actually take and respond to what God's word says. Am I like the Pharisees today? Have I formed out a religion in my life where I actually come to the place where, listen, I want everybody else to follow my rules, and as long as you follow my rules, you can stay in my world. Listen, these guys had power, they had authority. We know that later, we celebrated Easter time. These are the same men who led the charge. Crucify him. Crucify him. Crucify him. They chose a murderer, if you will, over the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to the number two. If you get to the top of the page on the next notes, Jesus responds to man's religious rules with God's word. Jesus responds to man's religious rules with God's word. How do you respond today like Martin did with an LDS missionary, knowing they have the same words, but they use a different dictionary? Guys, listen, I'm telling you, they say the same things we do, but they mean something totally different. And I'm not throwing stones at them for people. They're some of the most moral people. They're nice people. I'm not talking about bad people. I'm talking about bad religion or bad relationship they don't have with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus responds to man's religious rules with God's word. That's how we should do. Always go back to the book. If you have a question, go ask God, look into his word. Verses 7 and 8, if you'll look together with me there. He calls them hypocrites. Jesus calls the religious rulers hypocrites. He said they are honoring God with their head, right? That's why I said wash your head. With their lips and their mouth, they honor God, but their hearts are far from God. Is that us today? Don't we sound very much, even in the church today, we sound like the church of Laodicea, where we actually are neither hot nor cold. And God told the church of Laodicea, listen, you're neither hot nor cold. You make me want to vomit you out of my mouth. God is telling the church of Laodicea, you make me sick. Now, if your spouse come up to you and say, listen, you make me sick. Is that a compliment? Listen, what would you take it seriously if you come to the place where they've had enough of you and they say, you make me sick? If your boss comes to you and says, listen, you absolutely make me sick. Guys, listen, is that a serious issue? It sounds like you won't have a job for long. Is that true? It sounds like you won't have a marriage for long. And if God says to us today, listen, you make me sick, he's the creator who made us. He's come to the place, listen, saying, church, get on fire for me. Listen, I wish you were hot, or I wish you were a dead church. Because you're neither hot nor cold, you're lukewarm, you make me want to vomit you out of my mouth. We in our individual lives are that way. We are the church. And what is God saying to you today? Is God proud of you today because you're on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ? You don't know everything, but listen, every chance you get, you share Jesus Christ, your lifestyle. If he honored you and showed up on the big screen this past week, God was honored with your life. Yes, we all sin. Yes, we all make mistakes. Yes, we have to ask for forgiveness from people, but also from God. We've got to come to that place. Listen, I'm not perfect, but listen, God who helps me, I'll do what he wants me to do. When God says move, I'll move. When God says do it, I'll do it. When God says stop doing that, I'll stop doing that. We've got to come to that place where, listen, I don't want God to call me a hypocrite, and I don't want God to call me lukewarm. Listen, and I don't want God to call me cold. Amen? I don't want to be known as a dead Christian. I want to be known as someone who's on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, I'm telling you, I don't know everything, but what I do know, I'm going to make application to, and I'm going to address the issues as Jesus addressed the issues in his word. Would you agree? Listen, finally, Jesus was not afraid to condemn false teachers. Are you afraid? Like Martin said, he didn't want to mess with these LDS missionaries. Why? Because every time you have a conversation with them, they've been trained to combat Christians, right? Don't get into an argument with a Baptist. Don't get into an argument with a Pentecostal. Don't get into an argument with, and there's ways of addressing that. We as Christians have to come to a place where we love people enough to speak the truth in love. You have to pray like the people of the book of Acts, pray for holy boldness. When they prayed for holy boldness, guess what happened? They were persecuted, and they praised God because they were counted worthy to be persecuted for the name of Jesus' sake. We've come to the place where we don't want persecution. We want it nice and peaceful. Adrian Rogers, I've told you, I've quoted him many times. He says, if you're not in collision with the devil, you're in collusion with the devil. If your train is not smacking his train often, each week, each day, often it seems like, if you're not having collision, spiritual warfare constantly, what's going on? Listen, I'm not saying going up pick fights. Something's going on in your life. If your life is just smooth sailing, something's wrong. Now, this is not go fight this week, right? I got to get somebody punched up, right? I'm going to get somebody in trouble this week. I'm going to get myself in trouble so I can prove that I'm a Christian. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is when you speak the truth in love, the world will hate it. They're going to lash back at you, and they're going to say, you're no good. You're not smart. I would use the stupid word, but kids are in here, right? Listen, they're going to say that you're an ignoramus. They're going to come to that place where they're going to push back on you. I want to challenge you today. Listen, you stand for what Jesus Christ stands for. What he says about a situation, you say about what the situation. That's why I want you to write down on your Connect card, Pastor, I don't understand what the Bible says about fill in the blank. What scriptures actually talk about homosexuality, because that's everywhere in our society today. The Supreme God has not changed his mind because the Supreme Court did. Amen? Listen, God still says the same thing he's always said about drinking alcohol, about drugs, about all the things that deal in our culture today. What does God's word say about it? I want you to go to the word of God and find out what he says. And finally, listen, don't be afraid to address and even condemn and speak the truth to false teachers. They lead people away from God. He speaks even from what Isaiah said some 600-700 years before Jesus Christ. Isaiah prophesied that these people were coming. He said, listen, they speak like this, like they honor God. Oh, how I love God. Politicians right now, it's an election cycle, right? A couple years ago when I was rather new in town, newer in town, every time there was a Republican politician, Democrats must have found out about it, right? And I choose the candidate whose values line up with mine as best I can. But every time I was like the token one to come to town and get that preacher from Town Creek to pray. And I was at all kind of different political things and saying, listen, they just asked me to come and pray. And when I go in there, it's like, you stand over here. And I'm standing over with my hands in my pocket. Oh, by the way, listen, when you pray, could you just not pray in Jesus' name? Somebody didn't tell you about me, right, before I got there. Not because I'm just going to try to start trouble for you, but I have nothing to say in and of myself, right? I am a troublemaker if you leave me alone, right? I'd rather be known as a troublemaker for Jesus than a troublemaker of Clint, right? I can get enough trouble by myself. But when you come to a place saying, listen, I'll take everything you want to say, just talk about God in generic terms, but don't mention Jesus. When I was in Spartanburg, I was in charge of all the Boy Scouts for that large troop up there, and they would say, listen, when we come together as a troop, and as a whatever they're called, I forgot, I've intentionally washed my brain of that. When we come to the council together, we want you to pray because you're at one of the larger churches, but please don't pray in Jesus' name. Because there's people who are here that aren't Christians, they're from different religions. And my response is, I don't care. I really don't care. If I offend you today because of the truth found in the Word of God, that's your problem. Now, if I say it in hatred, listen, hope I don't ever come off as being hateful, but listen, I'm going to come off as being stern and loving that Jesus Christ, when he speaks the Word of God in truth and when love, when he addresses and condemns false teaching, we should address and condemn false teaching. But there is no way we're going to come to that place where we say, listen, do not pray in Jesus' name. I will not do it. Because the Bible says I have no access to the Father except through Jesus Christ. It's not just something I add to the end of prayer just so I can cause controversy. It's the only way to get to the Father is through Jesus Christ. He says very clearly, we said on the memory verse, listen, if we will not confess him before men, he will not confess us before the angels of heaven. And that means in the presence of God. Do we take this very seriously? Listen, we have closed our mouths because it's culturally not acceptable to speak about Jesus Christ. We keep going further and further into the corner. And listen, by the way, the corner's filling up. And it's going to come to that place where we're going to be threatened to the place with our lives. Will you speak the truth in love? Will you deny Jesus Christ? Or will you follow him? If you follow him, you will be persecuted for his namesake. Lastly, verses 10 through 20, Jesus is clear. What comes out of your head is what's in your heart. Whatever you speak, listen, I can tell what kind of person you are. You can hang around somebody. Listen, just this very week, and just actually Friday night, I'll get loud like everybody else. I'll talk as much trash as I can on the football field, on the softball field. I want to get into the enemy or the other team's mind, right? I want to celebrate our people, right? Our team. I'm a team player. But when it comes down to it, there's not curse words. I'm not going to come out and curse the other team. Just this week, I heard someone speak something, and it was an elderly person that actually used a curse word, and they were called out by their grandkid and tried to act like it didn't happen, but it happened. And this person is supposed to be in the ministry. And listen, I want to tell you to the place, not that we're perfect by any means. Look at me. Look, I'm telling you very clearly. My family's here, and they can witness. My friends are here. I'm not a perfect man. But I want to tell you this, as God is my witness, I do the best I can when I can. And I mess up daily with my wife, and I have to ask for forgiveness. I mess up with my kids and have to ask for forgiveness. I'm not perfect, but listen, I want to tell you, as God is my witness, as best as we understand the Word of God, we have to make application to our lives and to the world that we live in. Would you agree? Finally, listen, Jesus come down, and these, remember Peter and these guys, they're coming out of this Jewish religion. And Jesus says, explain this parable to me, because he's a Jew as well, right? He's come to a place where he's not fully comfortable with this whole, we didn't wash our hands properly, and I would agree with those guys, Jesus, because we didn't wash our hands, but I wasn't going to say anything, right? We didn't wash our hands like we should, but I wasn't going to bring that up because I was hungry and I ate. But I was raised this way too, Jesus. There's people today that are actually having to buy trinkets from their churches, right? And when they sin, they're having to have to take their necklace off and have to go around. And they're going to have to say certain words a certain number of times based on the sins they did. You know those people, your friends like that today? They're going to have to go make confession to a man and tell the Father that they've sinned. Listen, we have to tell the Father that we've sinned. We have direct access to the Father, Father God. We don't have to go to another man. You don't have to come to me for confession. And by the way, I don't want to hear your confession. I'll counsel with you, but I'm going to turn you right straight back to God. If it's a sin problem, I can't help you. I'm going to have to turn you to him, right? I'm not going to bless you. I'm not going to bless your sin. I'm going to say, listen, you're knee-deep in sin. You better go to the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask him. Ask the Heavenly Father for forgiveness. I'm not going to sell you anything. I'm not going to give you a trinket. I'm not going to tell you to go speak to anybody else. I'm going to tell you to go directly to God first. Now, if you need counseling, obviously we do that counseling as well. All of us need counseling at some point in our life. It's good to have godly counsel. The Bible says there's safety in a multitude of counselors. So godly wisdom is important. Secular wisdom is not. Medication is not the answer all the time. And some people in our society are so strung out on medication because they can't fix what was in the past. They want that fixed and they'll never address that. And the doctors keep giving them more and more for anxiety. And they're spaced out and they don't even know they exist today. Listen, church, what does the Bible say about these things? We must first, if you want the peace that passes understanding, you must go to the Prince of Peace, and his name is Jesus. If you need peace in your life, you got to go to the Prince of Peace that we're going to celebrate at Christmas. His name is Jesus. If you need strength or someone to keep you, listen, he says he's a mighty God. He knows tomorrow, he knows the next day, and he knows your past. And he says, I'm still your mighty God. I'm your everlasting Father. And if you just need somebody to talk to, listen, and there's nobody around, nobody's on your social media to answer you back, the Bible says he's our wonderful counselor. He's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He costs you nothing, and he keeps it confidential. Isn't that amazing? That's the God that we serve. That's the God. Listen, when Peter comes up and asks this question, Jesus says, listen, don't you get it? And look at verse 13. Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted, it will be uprooted. Leave them alone. Leave those people, instead of getting out in the street and fighting with these people. Now, he condemned them, right? He confronted their teaching, but he didn't shut them down. Hey, guys, when they go out of town, send a Christian ambush on those guys so they won't make it back to the Capitol, right? Let's kill them so they can't speak against us. He said, leave them alone. God's going to take care of those people. Listen, just you check on you, right? What comes out of your mouth? And we should say now today what comes out of your fingers, right? Because texting and social media, some of you put some stuff on social media that you ought not to put out there. We don't care if you don't have any friends, right? You got a whole faith family here to make friends with, right? We don't care if you're upset with the world. We don't care what you think about President Obama, right? He has been put in leadership. If you didn't vote, you voted for him. How does that make you feel? If you didn't vote in this last presidential election, you voted for the President of the United States. If you're not registered to vote, listen, I'm telling you, you vote for whoever wins. Is that true? Get registered to vote. That's a duh, right? Duh, America's going down. You hear all the, where I'm from, you hear it bad, right? Old America, well, did you vote? Well, no, it ain't going to do no difference anyway. Then shut up, right? Be quiet, I should say. Kids are in it. Be quiet. Register to vote. Vote. Love God. Vote your conscience, right? Vote with people who have values like you have. But quit complaining. Quit complaining. What comes out of here, and I will say here. Now, I should have put the hands, right? You got to wash those hands again, those fingers. What comes out of here is what's in here. It'll happen with an individual. It'll happen with a group. It'll happen with a church. If you love Jesus Christ, listen, everything about you is not going to be peaches and roses. You'll have bad days. But listen, when it comes down to those bad days, you can come back and lean on Jesus Christ. So listen, he's my rock, my sword, my shield. I know Alex taught this to the kids. He's the hub and the middle of the wheel. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. And I'm going to wait. We're kids. Where are we going to wait? Wait, right, cheer. That's right. That's the camp version. Wait, right, cheer till Jesus comes. And he is coming. We are 7 days closer to his return this Sunday than we were last Sunday. Isn't that amazing to think about? He's coming. Let's live for him. Let's be like Jesus. Let's address these religious issues. You don't have to be an expert on cults. You don't have to be an expert on all the other things that are out there. Just love Jesus Christ. Focus on him and him alone. And lead your family, leave your friends, leave everyone that you can. Lead them, not leave. Lead them to Jesus Christ. Let me pray for us today. Father, as we pray and close out the service today, we're mindful that there's so many things, Lord, we all deal with. We all have different friends in different states and different places, different countries. But Father, the issue, as Martin's even talked about, in Korea, there's women who don't want their children or can't afford their children, and they're dropping these babies off in drop boxes. Thank you, God, that there's a church there who loves them enough to bring this baby up and put them into the baby system and see that they grow up in love as best they can. But Father, I know financially they need help. Financially, I could imagine if we had a drop box here at Town Creek, how would we even do it? Father, we must come to the place where it's no longer about what we want, our stuff, our little kingdoms. Father, we must be to the point where we actually even wipe away religion. We're not necessarily even Baptists first. We're Christians first. Father, we happen to be Baptists because we believe Baptists are people of the book. And we have a rich heritage, Father, of many years, over 150 years of this church being in existence following you. But we know that the church is a couple thousand years old. Father, where we find ourselves today is at a crossroads. We find ourselves to the place, Lord, will we be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ? Will we serve you with all our heart and our head and our hands? Father, you desire all of us today. Every part of our, every fiber of our being, you desire to be used for your kingdom and for your glory. Father, we pray in Jesus' name that you would help us today, that you would strengthen us today, that you would encourage us today, that we might take this very word where Peter comes and says, listen, what's wrong with what they're saying? I don't understand the parable. When Jesus comes back and says, listen, God's first, God's way. And we know that when we do it God's way, we'll get God's results in all of our life, in our finances, in our family, our friends, even in our faith family. Help us, God, because we're just humans and we'll mess it up every single time. But with your wisdom and your guidance that you give us, and you promise to give us if we ask, we ask for that today. And I ask for that for all my brothers and sisters that are here today, that you would give them godly wisdom beyond their years, not just elderly wisdom, but godly wisdom. And Father, for those that are here today that are not Christians and they don't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, they've just been religious and they've just been following alone, Father, I desperately pray for them that they would come to know the true Prince of Peace, that wonderful counselor Isaiah 9:6 talks about, that mighty God, that in you, Jesus Christ. Father, help us because we're in need of help. We're like little children who, Father, sometimes are just running about. Father, help us to come to the place, even as children, as middle schoolers, as high schoolers, as college, as military, as the workforce, as the retired force, Father, for all of us today, where we find ourselves, Father, we need you. We pray for your help, for your wisdom today. In Jesus' name, for our sake, amen.